Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians. He said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I wonder how well that's working out for the folks in the Philippines right now. I'd be curious to know how our neighbors in Southeast Austin, in the Onion Creek flood area, might respond to this appeal of Paul. It would be interesting to note how many Christians really take these words of Scripture to heart when their lives have been turned upside down by some tragedy, or some diagnosis, or some breakup. You know, giving thanks is a natural and easy response when life is cruising along and everything is going well. But it is not a natural nor an easy response when your life seems to be falling apart right before your very eyes. In fact, in those very troubled times of life, not only is giving thanks difficult, sometimes it almost seems delusional. Why in the world would anyone give thanks in all circumstances? And more than that, how could anyone give thanks in any and all circumstances? It just doesn't seem possible. But it is. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, we read about Daniel's experience with King Darius. And as you might recall from that book in Daniel 6, King Darius, at the advice of his crooked and jealous administrators, issued a decree that anyone who prayed to any god or any man besides himself as the king should be thrown into the lion's den. A decree that should have immediately struck terror into the hearts of any Israelite. But as soon as Daniel learned of this decree, Scripture tells us that he went right home to his upstairs room where his window opened toward and facing Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees and he prayed to the Lord. In fact, three times a day he prayed to the Lord, giving thanks to God, just as he had always done before, in plain sight for anyone walking by in the street to see, in plain sight of those who sought to have him killed. In spite of the king's decree, regardless of the deadly consequences, Daniel prayed and gave thanks to God. And that is the extreme of what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. You read that story and you have to wonder, how could Daniel do it? How could he continue to thank God in the midst of a law that was solely designed to put an end to his life and put an end to his life in a most gruesome of ways? What in the world was there for which he could give thanks? I think these questions might best be answered by Martin Luther in the verses of our sermon hymn tonight, A Mighty Fortress. Luther wrote, "Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom ours forever." That's the truth that lay behind Paul's summon to give thanks in all circumstances. No one and no thing can ever take our salvation away from us, because it has been bought and paid for us by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And thus, because of that, there is always a reason to give God thanks, even after a terrible typhoon or a formidable flood or a damaging diagnosis. In the midst of all of it, God's mercy and His love remain, and thus His kingdom remains ours forever. Daniel could thank God, though threatened by a horrific death at the mouth of the lions, because he knew that he was loved and forgiven by God. Paul could give thanks, though shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned and starved and stoned and betrayed and left for dead, because he knew, as he wrote in Romans 8, that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation could separate him from the love of God that was his in Christ Jesus his Lord. And Luther could give thanks, though hated and hunted and condemned to death by the church, because he knew that no matter what in this world might be taken from him, the eternal kingdom of God would still be his forever. You see, giving thanks to God is not predicated upon an individual having a substantial amount of things in their life for which to be thankful. In fact, quite oftentimes, such a substantial list of things for which to be thankful might actually get in the way of giving God thanks. I've noticed through the years that quite oftentimes the depth of a person's gratitude is often inversely proportional to a person's portfolio. Oftentimes, the folks who seem to have the least end up being the most thankful, and those who have the most for which to give thanks often tend to take much of it for granted, which is par for the course, as the scriptures describe those who are greedy and rich and who have a love for money. Because, you see, it's very difficult to see the eternal gift of God, namely Jesus Christ, when our hearts are so in love with the gifts of this world. As we come together tonight to give God praise and thanks for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon us in this past year, food and clothing, and health, and income, and home, and family, and shelter, and safety, and transportation, and so on, Let's remember that even if all of these things were gone, our enemies will have yet nothing won, because the kingdom of God is still ours forever. May we continue to give thanks in all circumstances because of the life and the love of our Savior Jesus. In His name, amen.